Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you are present with us, not here in this church as a pillar of fire, but as a bride. And Lord, there never was such a time of agreement as in this hour, and you said in this any age that if two be agreed upon anything is touching your kingdom, it should be granted. And here, Lord, there's a whole group of people, a bride, who agree 100% upon the word, that there was a living prophet from the living God with a living word, and such word, Lord, as to come to pass and bring forth a people immortal in the time of the second half of the first resurrection. And how wonderful that is, Lord, and knowing that you can do that, and not only can you do that, but you are going to do that, having already started to do it. We know our requests, which have been made known to you, Lord. Surely in this group here, the two and three gathered together have the promises made to us, guaranteed that is touching the kingdom, it shall be done. And Lord, we have this promise brought to you now, Lord, is touching the kingdom concerning our problems here. If indeed we even have a problem concerning pastor and these things which we feel are in your word and in our heart. And Lord, is concerning doubts and fears and negativity concerning this word and answers we need. There again, Lord, agreeing this morning, we can have answers from you positively, because all things are possible, and that is according to your word. So we take hope this morning and great consolation and a greater extension of our faith, Father, and joy to know that these things are true. We're so happy to be here together with your people, making one beautiful little part of the bride of Jesus Christ. How grateful we are. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're on number 4. of a shame. And before we go to page 23, paragraph 160, I would like for us to recall a statement that we dwelt upon in some length last Wednesday, wherein Brother Branham said in paragraph 125, that's being ashamed of his word. That's his word made flesh in you. Or he's saying, that's his word made flesh in you, and you're ashamed of it. Now, at that point, when he made this statement, he was referring to denominational people in particular who had no trouble but joy in receiving certain scripture or dogma or theology, whereas other scripture was refused and was an embarrassment to them, because though actually those scriptures were in the Word, they had made them open to debate. Now, the Word of God doesn't stand or fall upon debate. That's the stupidest thing under God's high heaven, to attempt to take scripture and debate it, and somebody by fluency or a little smartness, a little Greek or a little Hebrew, prove he's right. Especially when God can come down from heaven and do something to prove what is right. See? And Brother Branham is dealing in this line of thinking. So, he took two scriptures. That's all he took at that time. Those scriptures relative to healing and the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now then, rather than giving a stinging rebuke or an argument, he laid before them an amazing prospect concerning the power of the very word that they were rejecting. Now, in receiving whatever word they had received the power for it. You follow what I'm saying? What if there comes a time when you need the full power of God? Then you will need the full scripture. Now, here are the promises of God in word form. This is what Brother Branham is bringing to us when he tells them they're rejecting the very word of power at that time and rejecting those two great doctrines. So here are the promises of God in word form, which if we receive, And reception is a matter of believing. You follow me? You can't believe and not receive. You cannot receive and not believe. That's why old Brother Draffin years ago said, asking is receiving. Because ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door opens up. So you see, believing is receiving. Now receiving has various degrees and elements which I won't go into, but you already know that. So here are the promises of God in word or printed form, which we receive into our hearts and become flesh. It is like another statement Brother Branham made. When you receive the word of God, you become the word of God in your flesh. Now, here's John the Baptist. He is predestinated. Even an angel comes to Zacharias and tells him, you're going to have a son by your wife, Elizabeth, who is unable to have children. And everybody gets very happy about the fact, the great miracle power of God, that this lovely lady in older age can have a baby. Hogwash. That's stupid thinking. The great thing is God said so. I don't care if they found him under a gooseberry bush. That's right. God said so. Now John comes on the scene, and he's a weird character. But there's a dynamism about him that nobody else has, because he speaks with a certain assurance concerning that for which they are looking. Huh? The coming of Messiah. And they narrowed their eyes at this fella who had this dynamism, and they said, who are you and what are you? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I am the Word of God manifested in flesh. Now here's what I'm driving at. John, though known of God and predestinated, was no more known of God and predestinated than you and I. Yet he had to take the Word of God and believe it, meant he received it, and he became at that time the Word of God in human flesh. In other words, when he took his stand with it, then it was accredited to him and written in a book. You believe that? You better believe it, because the books are open. It has to do with man's records. So now we got a record of God's word, which was written in heaven. Then we get a record of names which are written in heaven. Then we get a manifestation of the individual on earth. Then we get a record how that one responds to that word. That's right. How he responds. And your response to that word makes the indelible crisscross of the record, word made flesh. Now, nobody's going to believe that but us. And Brother Branham taught us. And I'm proud we're taught by somebody who knew. And the rest can go fly their little peanut-picking kites. Now, that you may understand what I am thinking that this could mean to us, let us now refer to some scripture and attempt to put it together. We do so by going to Colossians 1 and 27. to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, believe it or not, Christ, the anointing in you, which is your hope of glory. And remember, hope goes beyond faith. Faith is a revelation. And by receiving it, we complete our believing. And upon believing, it goes to the earnest expectation, which is a culmination, the Holy Ghost coming in. So now you got a cross marked off by your name. Samuel, who cares? Stan Savatsky. Born over there in Scotland. He's the Son of God. He heard the word and he believed. Received the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Checks right off. You think that's not recorded? Oh, come on. Certainly it's recorded. God's got a record. Okay. Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in your flesh. Christ in your body is your hope of glory. Now, we might as well stop right here and understand that glory has a progression. Brother Branham said what a glory it was when Luther broke from the Roman Catholic Church. What a further glory it was when Wesley broke from the Lutherans. What a further glory it was when the Pentecostals deserted the Wesleyans. And he said, now today, what a glory this is. It will never fade, meaning that at this point, a spectacular juncture, there is a glory that doesn't fade. So therefore now, as you started way back, as Jesus said, give me the glory I once had, and he was cognizant of it. We now, having received the glory of identification, believing in God, knowing we're baptized with the Holy Ghost, identifying with the Word, now come into the glory which the others could not have, because we will be standing right here transformed. Then there'll be a further glory in the millennium. There'll be a further glory at the white throne. And there'll be a further glory and a further glory, because it keeps on and it keeps on and it keeps on, because it is the glory of God with which we are glorified. It is not a human glory at all. The body is what we look at so much, and so does God look at it, but we fail to look at the intrinsic truth and value of what we are in the first place. We just don't believe. Your brother Brandon told about that great African fellow that came over here, that black man. He comported himself the way he acted around others. He was not like the others. And so the fellow said, I'd like to buy him. He said, he's not for sale. Well, he said, I like him for this reason. He's not like the rest of them. Well, he said, that's why you're not getting him. Well, he said, what do you do? Feed the guy something special? No privileges. What it is, this man was the son of a king, and he's never forgotten it. So what Brother Branham was trying to show us, what we're looking at now, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, the earnest expectation, not of a modification, but an extension. It's just like they say, extrude metal. You start with a lump of dirty, rotten ore in the ground. You put it through the furnace, and you begin to purify. And if that doesn't begin to work, you throw in a chelator that brings the other junk out. The trials and tribulations of life. Something thrown into your fiery furnace. And then you begin putting through the mills. And after you put through the mills, you put a refiner. And you get these things in sheets, and then it's extruded. It's put into certain forms and things. That's what it's all about. So we come from God with the elements of what can be extruded. A lot of things in there look pretty hokey because you're coming through the flesh. But you begin to get rid of the flesh and watch begin at the time of the glorification. It goes from glory unto glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And men take that, not knowing that that is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. They believe it is justification. It is not. It is the anointing coming upon the seed. And the seed lies in the flesh. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians. We go to the third chapter. And we go to verses 2 and 3. You are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared, you are exegetically, absolutely drawn forth to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And Paul is saying right here, your great destiny, what you here are here on earth, according to the unalterable plan of Almighty God, that God has set forth here. You are literally the Word of God in this generation. You are an actual letter of Christ, but you're ministered by us. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of heart. And what did Paul claim to have? He had the Word. Now, we have an exact parallelism here and a parallel between Christ Himself and Christ His Word. Now, let's go to John 8. John 8 and chapter 37. And Jesus is speaking and He said, If I know you're Abraham's seed, I know you are the children of Abraham according to flesh, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. If there were a child of God today and he had the Holy Ghost and he didn't have the word, he would be a killer. I know you say, Brother Bale, take it easy. I ain't taking nothing easy. You begin to smarten up. You begin to realize what a word this was that Brother Branham preached. Right. David finally said, Thy word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against you. Man with 500 wives, lusting after a woman, who showed herself to a king, a prophet of God. Listen to me, you young girls today. You sit there dead, dumb and blind, and your parents are just like you. You cut your skirts up the back, till your buttocks shows. Listen to me, you women. Told you for the last time, judgment set in the land. Prophet told you that 25 years ago, and you still can't believe it. This vessel hidden earthen miry clay. You're like the truth, do you? You hate being taught the way I teach. People hate my preaching. They hate my tapes. And they say, I wouldn't want my child to hear that. God, he's too rough in the pulpit. He says things my little daughter shouldn't hear. You little daughters. Ask any man, young or old, what the hip hugger did to him as a person. You know what a hip hugger was? Split way down almost to the crotch, showing the navel the whole bit. Until any man would get a finish, rip those things off you. If that's what you wanted, you'd get it. Now, you people on here, the tapes, you won't want to hear that. You're too nice. Well, take your niceness. I'll stand at the white throne in front of you. Some of you folk are kidding yourselves. I know you're nervous. You better be nervous, because I'm not. I spill my guts. My sins are sent on ahead of time. I stand at Brother Branham, he spilled his guts, I spilled mine. Because of Jesus spilled his blood for you and me, and people don't want to recognize it. Yeah, yeah, I know he said you're Abraham, see? But you seek to kill me. David killed him. There's one thing David stood for, though. It got him over the hump, and he knew God. And in spite of all his sins and everything else, I want to tell you, David made it. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. But you listen to me. If you expose yourself and you do those things, and we're going to hit it maybe this morning by Brother Branham's message, and you do those things, you're going to answer for it. Woe unto them by whom offenses come. And Bathsheba stood there, and no doubt she knew full well she exposed herself plumb naked to the king. And she was a beauty, and in her heart, for all I know, she might have been saying, oh, king, with your 499 wives, you ain't got what I got. I don't know. I don't know. All right? Number one, then, is what we learn is Christ in you. Number two is Christ, the Word in you. Or just put it, Christ in you. Number two, the Word in you. This lines perfectly with John, the third chapter, 5-8. Jesus answered, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And we are body, soul, and spirit. And the part that came at one time was flesh and soul, because the body is the home of the soul, and the flesh was allowed of God, given to us when the body and the soul came down from the womb. The Spirit gave life to the body. And so it takes the Spirit of God to quicken that soul. Marvel not, I send you this. You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. In other words, the Spirit moveth where he willeth. And you can hear the voice of it, but you cannot tell when it comes, where it's going to go. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. And brother, sister, that voice has to be in the Word. No other place it can be. Because that was already documented to us in Deuteronomy 18. I will never allow my own personal voice to be heard again, but I will send a prophet with the Word, and the Word will be vindicated. And you don't even have to hear the prophet. You just read his Word. John the Baptist never heard Isaiah. He was born 400 years later or so. He said, I'm the voice of one cry. I'm Isaiah 40:1. You can't get by it. Okay. Notice what he says here. He is speaking of Christ himself and the Word, the Spirit and the rebirth. All right, let's go further. We go to the book of Peter. And in Peter 1:17-25. And if you call on the Father who without respect the person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know you are not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of the fathers with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another fervently, and another with a pure heart fervently, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now he tells you right there what they heard was the Word of Almighty God, the same as he did. And something was in that Word, which was in no other Word, which is Jesus said, my Spirit, my words that I speak, they are Spirit and they are life. And notice, being born again, not of a corruptible spora, but of an incorruptible spora, which is the Word of God, which is living and abiding. For all flesh is as grass. The glory of man is a flower, is the grass. The grass withers, the flower falleth away. But the Word of the Lord endures, bringing a glory to a glory to a glory. Now, what do you want this morning? You want the world out there, the flesh and the devil? You want your crappy TVs, your cruddy ways? Or do you want the living word of God? It's up to you. So I'm going to have it both. You're a liar and you know it. Don't try to kid yourselves. It's too late in the day. You'll never get by with that nonsense. From these scriptures and what Brother Branham said, we see how correctly Brother Branham could say that on Judgment Day, God would judge the world in righteousness by one Christ Jesus, for He is the Word. Now remember, categorically, Brother Branham took us to Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. So let's go back and read it, because my name, I can't quote it to you. If I just maybe get it right. For the word of God is quick and powerful, even sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit, and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner, and thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. For all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That is absolutely the truth. But listen to me. What happened over here in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter? For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It tells you right there that Hebrews 4 and 12 can only come to pass at the time of 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, when the Lord descends with a shout, and the Bible categorically denies that the shout is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the voice of another person. God would betray Himself as a liar, as a hypocrite, if He changed Deuteronomy 18. Can't do it. God's got to use a man. I don't care what anybody says. You sit there and think, I'll hear from God. You categorically are a liar and a fool this morning. Listen. Categorically, the Bible says one day God's going to judge this world in righteousness by one Christ Jesus. And I don't believe for one minute that's looking down there at the white throne. I believe it's looking right now where the prophet came and the Holy One came down and the prophet says, I indict this generation. You don't believe it? Come on, let's find out. Oh, everybody wants to put this somewhere else. Forget putting somewhere else. It says right over here in 2 Thessalonians, the very first chapter, and it says, seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. So well, that's white throne. It is not. That's a great tribulation. Because He says tribulation. The white throne isn't tribulation. He's not talking about that. Recompense tribulation. So I don't believe that. You don't believe nothing. The Bible says that upon this generation might fall all the sins of Israel, and those people died in 70 AD. And now on this generation, this world is going to reap every single sin from Canaan. So I don't think that's fair. Who asked you whether it's fair or not? I don't care if you get mad. I don't care if I get mad. Like old Ralph Barnard said, I quote him any old time days, when he preached predestination, showed the sovereignty of God, and if he understood him, he'd preach the same thing. They see you mad, then why don't you get a big club and beat hell out of God? Why don't you go in the bathtub and play electric guitar too and see if you can do it? Why don't you go to the Empire State Building and jump off? See, you're hopeless. You're helpless. Let me tell you something. Manifestation, vindication goes a whole lot further than we think. And your trouble rests with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed, him and these mighty angels, there it is right over there, in flames of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, cursing, who should be punished everlasting destruction in the presence of the Lord, the glory of power, cursing, when he shall become blessing,
to be glorified and be saints to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among those believed in that day. Now he said, our testimony in that day. That wasn't his day. That's Paul's testimony in this day.
What about? What about Dave? No questions? Good. Dave came from a pretty bad background. That's why he's had questions. But he doesn't question this. He just questioned maybe a couple of things in marriage and divorce or something. I got my questions too. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't question this. Because it's come to pass. So I sit here with my own ideas. Have your ideas. Do what you want with them. I care. That's not, look at, I say, I care less. It's not that I don't love you. I don't ride herd on you. You're God's sheep, not my sheep. That's right. And be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And Brother Branham stood behind the curtain of time, and I'll bet you $1 billion to a hole in the donut. Brother Branham never saw the scriptures I'm preaching you this morning. And he stood there. Well, he said, I preached what Paul preached. They knew more than he did at that point. We're resting on that. Listen. And your troubled rest with us. Do you want your rest to enter within the veil? Beyond the curtain of time? Then you know what Brother Branham preached is what Paul preached. When judgment of the land set in. Now you tell me God and His Word isn't one. You tell me some stupid thing about Logos and Rhema being different. Oh, I know there is a difference in the extent that one is written and one is spoken, but soon as it's spoken, it manifests. And I ask you one question. What was manifesting? Rhema. From what source? Logos. I understand. People wonder why I scream out. Act as though I hate people. Now, there might be something about the fact I don't like them. Why wasn't Brother Branham liked, though? The finest, gentlest man that ever walked in shoe leather. Couldn't stand what he said. Look at that. Look at Psalm 1. Over here talking about the ungodly. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. It tells you right there, in the judgment, the sinners can't stand. Like the chaff, they're blown away with the breath of God. God doesn't waste His breath. He talks. But the righteous stand in the judgment. They said, that's vindication. They said, that's a cloud of angels came down. They stand. Just like Noah entering the ark. They stand. They don't even lie down in death. They stand. But the wicked are plumb blown away. And at the great white throne they stand. The righteous, unrighteous are burned. They're blown away. Yeah. Brother Branham, like the Hebrew prophets. Like the Hebrew prophets. And he's the only Gentile prophet. In the sense, we're going from the time of Jacob now. We're not going to go beyond that, back to Abraham.
Abraham was a Gentile, then he became a Jew, or whatever you want to call him, as a Hebrew. Brother Branham, like the Hebrew prophets, equated Rhema and Logos as one in the true sense. There could not be one without the other. One does not split God in three pieces. Or divide asunder the Word from the Word. But the one God and the one Word run in continuity and according to God's own purpose and time. If it hadn't been written, it wouldn't have been spoken. You say, come. God could have done differently. You are liars and lying in your own teeth, and you're listening to the devil. No, brother, I don't mean that way, brother. I don't mean that way. I mean, God could have. You are still a liar and controlled by the devil. Because you fail to realize that God is limited. The same God who said, you cannot change your stature, you cannot add a cubit, you have nothing to do with the hairs of your head, actually, you're coming and you're going, I, the Lord, do not change. The great, eternal, invisible, omniscient Spirit God manifested what lay within Him, but could do so only on the grounds of a defined Word which was written and then voiced. God being what He was, which was Savior, Healer, Father, and much, 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 much more, even now speaks those words concerning such as He is through the printed and spoken Word, and gives form to them in flesh as good seed in good ground. That's right. Now some of this is solely, S-O-L-E-L-Y, on the grounds of predestination, which is in the realm of the positive, revealed faith, while other words are in the realm of an active faith. As it says in Acts 13:48, as many as were ordained believed. And what did they believe? They believed the doctrine. And the doctrine, to be absolutely valid, now listen, the doctrine to be absolutely valid, that you can rest on it, has to go back to God Himself and vindicated by God. That it is God. That's right. But all the words given to us have an end destination upon receipt. That's a good word. That's a good seed in the good ground. Now, whether these words are active or passive faith, doesn't matter. All the words given to us have an end destination upon receipt, and that is, it is made flesh or outworked in flesh. Or it is turned down, as in the case of John 8:38, which we read. You haven't gotten my word, there's no place in you for it. Which we read, as in Matthew 13:58, to begin with, and He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They couldn't believe who He was, which is a revelation, which is a passive faith. As Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but My Father which is in heaven. Peter had nothing to do with it. As a creature, he was completely passive, except he had a brain that could suddenly absorb a thought. And the thought came, and his mouth flew open. Or maybe he didn't even need his brain, his mouth just flew open. But I doubt that, because it's supposed to be a revelation. And a revelation is something that you have and you can nourish. And that doesn't come by opening your mouth and flapping it. The trouble is with all of us, we put our mouths in gear without putting our brain in gear. And I don't think that this man's mouth was in gear without his brain. And it came like a flash, looking at what Christ had been and was according to what Peter had seen and heard. It blew his mind. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's passive. Now, these people here could not believe the passive. So, therefore, they could not expect the active. Now, the beautiful thing is that God fools everybody by allowing you to miss the passive and still go to the active. But he couldn't do many miracles because they turned him down. They couldn't believe in those things. Now, let's go to Mark 6 and 6. You may have to blow your buzzer loud when you want me to stop talking for turning the tape over because I'm not watching too well. Mark 6 and 6, if we're on the beam. Not the 5th chapter, 6th chapter. All right. And he could there do no mighty work, because that he laid, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Small breakthrough. Mark 9 and 24. And straightway the father child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I do believe, but I can't seem to be strong enough. Help my unbelief." Now you see, you got two different faiths. You got an active faith, you got a passive faith. And your active faith actually depends upon you. You've got something to work with, something to do with. Like Brother Branham said in the virtues, the basic is faith, then comes power. Okay, let's go to Romans 4 and 20. Again, if I have this right, which I hope. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Right? Romans 3 and 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God unto none effect? Or shall it make the word of God void? How much real healing did they have in Luther's time? Hardly any. But the passive faith was there. What did they have in Wesley's time? Hardly any. But the passive faith was there. And when Pentecost started, they blew it. Because they couldn't go from the passive faith to the active faith. That's right. They started passive. They became very active. Their tongues and all the gifts. Then they blew it when the genuine came. Now, we have an opportunity. Brother Branham said, when the gifts of the Spirit are laid on the shelf, as it were, the sweet Spirit of Christ comes into the church, everybody's going to be healed. That's why he said, take this message for your healing. We identify with the Word as living Word ourselves. Now listen, we identify with the Word as being Word ourselves, which equates to Word coming to Word and Word coming together. Every single word comes to the great Word. And all the little words come together forming a body. Therefore, it would be very strange indeed if we as Word, the good ground, with soul and gene, which you can also equate to the Word, we showed you that some weeks ago, would not receive the Word which came to us especially vindicated. So we identify with the Word as being as Word ourselves, because we are Word ourselves. Which equates to Word coming to Word and coming together. But that does not mean that we will get every prayer answered, except in the context of the Word relative to that promise. Because my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. My Father that gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. No man can take them out of my Father's hand. I will lose none. He didn't say that about healing. He didn't say it about healing. He didn't say about you getting the right wife either. What do you think of that one? You know why? Because some of you didn't ask for the right one. Too bad. I can't say I'm too sorry for you. Looks like everybody got a pretty good wife here. Those that haven't got wives yet, you've got a better chance than anybody. Still wait on the Lord. Follow me? Okay. That does not mean we'll get every prayer answered except in the context of the word relative to that promise. And remember, rebirth is not a promise specifically within itself. It is a revelation concerning you that come from God. Follow? You follow what I said? The world out there doesn't believe that. They hate any thought that you can't just choose, you can't just choose, you can't just choose. They forget Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. How can God change his ways? Now, if he just chose Paul and lifted up to you and me to make a decision, then he's a respecter of persons. And he goes against his own word, and then again he's a hypocrite. He wants me to do what he won't do himself. Togwash. Where would you find the only begotten Son dying for you and me and shedding his blood and sending his spirit back if we were to stand and do something? I'll ask you a question. What did any of you do, people here do to bring about your birth? What did you do with squall? Because you're babies when you're born. Some of you haven't quit squalling. I don't see I've quit. Let's take the example of Paul. Paul the Apostle. Look at him. He went to God with the promises of God. And the Bible, he tells us, I besought the Lord thrice to take this thing away from me. And God said, Paul, I cannot answer you, though there is a promise in the word concerning the very thing that you're talking about. And I'll tell you why. You've got something nobody else has got. And if I let you have what you want, which is there in the word, you'd be a flop and a fizzle. You'd be so puffed up that you wouldn't know where you came from and where you're going and what your ministry's all about. Well, he said, oh God, if that's the case, I'll die a million deaths. Okay, let's go to Matthew 9. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said, yea, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, and he said, according to your faith. Now let's see if you lied or not. I don't mean that though you lied or not. But let's see if you really mean it. Do you really mean it? And their eyes were opened. They meant it. Just like the time that the man came to him, I read about, he said, Lord, help my unbelief. He said the disciples couldn't do anything about it. He said, Lord, can you do something? And Jesus said, can I? Are you crazy? Certainly I can. But what about your faith, mister? Now listen. That's active. That's not passive. Follow me? Okay. That we do not receive the benefits of all the word here on earth does not mean we do not believe it. We do accept it all as truth and continually press on, knowing that when we are thoroughly in one mind with the Word, which is God, it must come to pass or God would deal with us as He dealt with Paul. And Brother Branham said, I cannot get help myself. And he limped until the thing was gone. But the strong point that Brother Branham making is that when a message is vindicated, it is to be believed entirely. As good as Lutheran justification was for that day, and Wesleyan sanctification for that day, and Pentecostals and the baptism for their day, it is not good enough for today, because that which is perfect has come. Ha! Tell that to a certain fellow that believes, knows the Greek. Today it is a word for immortality and resurrection, which takes the presence of God Himself and the word of this hour according to Ephesians 1:17-23, which is actually 1 Thessalonians 4:16. However, in spite of vindication, not only is the revealed word rejected, but even the healing power of God. This is under Brother Branham's ministry we're talking now. The rejection is so strong that it is evidently fostered by the devil and is resisted by people with evil spirits, though they don't even know they have them. As we'll find this little girl here, to her congregation, she was retarded. And Brother Branham said, I wish you were crazy. Then you wouldn't be responsible. But you've opened yourself to the devil. Where there was evident, no. He speaks of this in an illustration of evil spirits controlling people. Where there was evidently some sort of a Baptist convention, where the people were in a majority against healing, but a few believed in it, and even one person knew Brother Branham, and he had been healed. So Brother Branham is saying, why do you people turn this down? Don't you know that it's the Word of God made flesh in you? In other words, not somebody down the street, not somebody over here, but in you in particular, as you receive and believe this Word, it can and does become literally flesh. And I say, I don't believe that. Well, if you don't believe it, you're lost. Now, if I don't understand it, that's different. I don't understand it too perfect myself, but I keep looking at it. I told you I would. That's what I'm dealing with today. And I'll be dealing some more with it. Don't worry. I don't close my mind off to these things. I just wait to see if something happens. I was speaking the other night with George Smith, the boy that goes with my daughter. That's paragraph 1:16-23. Rebecca, a fine kid, is George, sang here in the tabernacle. He's got a good voice. A Baptist boy that just told them, that's the Baptist church, take my name off that thing, off your Baptist records. I want nothing anymore to do with it. And there was a young lady. She was there when they were having a conference in this certain Baptist church, and the conference was up in the hills. And they were so firmly against me, all of them out there. They've got nothing against me as a person. It's against the Word. See? I, as a man, they can't say a thing against me. I never did them any harm. But that is what they're afraid of. What? His message. They were having this meeting up there. And they were going to have a missionary to take the last 3 nights of this great conference up in the hills where it was cool. Because that's hot weather out there. Happened to be this missionary got up and came to Mark 16. He said, there are many people today who can't believe in divine healing. He said, I was in India. I'm an Indian. And I was in India when a man here from the States by the name of Brother Branham came. The pastor began to move nervously. The man said, my wife is dying with cancer. I was blind or something like that. He prayed for one of us, and the other one he called out of the audience, not even knowing our language, and spoke of the power of God. And he said, we're here healed. Well, they tried to shut him up, but they couldn't do it. That right in their own conference. They'll shut you up if they got to kill you. The Roman Catholic Church knows the value of two things. Instant death or prolonged agony until you die or you say, yes, you're right, yes, you're right. What did the communists do? Then you tell me the communist spirit is not the same as the Catholic spirit? You're wrong. It's the same spirit. It's the Babylonian spirit today in the Church of Rome. Smarten up. Why do you think they're coming together under Gorbachev? Oh, Roger just phoned me last night. He said, Lee, he said, I want to read you something you said back in 1988. It's prophetic. And I said, what is it? He said, you watch and see. Gorbachev will go to the Pope one of these days. That's over a year ago. I'm not prophetic. Brother Branham is a prophet. I just said what he said. they even denied there was anything to it. That's the man you're getting here. And some of the people, even this boy's sister, that'd be George's sister, those in the ground, wouldn't have anything to say. But they wanted to know if she was connected some way they could get down to find out. In other words, is there some way we can get to Brother Branham or get him to us, and we'll see if there's anything to it. Rebecca and George went to see this lady. They wanted to know. And she got a girl that was suffering, kind of retarded a little. So they had me come over there to see the girl the other night. And I went over there, and the little lady was sitting there, and I said, are you a believer? And she said, nah, I don't know whether I am or not. Well, she wasn't retarded, just a devil spirit. They don't realize it. See, that spirit takes you, and you don't know it. It comes, then violence overcomes the person, and they don't know it. So the violence is not you throwing yourself in the fire, not you screaming and jumping up and down and biting, but it's you coming against the Word of God. Every time it shows up. See? Not only that, but it may make you a person just like this girl. She sneered all the time. Now listen, Brother Branham says, as illustration, the example of 165, the spirit taking a person over, the person not knowing it, but it's a spirit of violence in the sense it does violence to you and the Word of God. Women that walk out here in the street with those shorts on, they don't realize it. They might prove and swear to it. They've never done any evil against their husband, no adultery and so forth, like that. But in their heart, they don't realize that the spirit of the devil has taken them over. Now, you that want to fool with skirts and things like that, been warning and warning and warning, I'm laying the bone down. You got a devil. It's all Brother Branham, not my wife. Hey, are you stupid? Are you Pentecostals? Are you like the Hutch down in Florida years ago? They could not believe in marriage and divorce and remarriage. But she had a beautiful sister, and I mean, she was a beautiful, lovely woman. I mean, she was. She was a fine person. She'd married a no-good slob. And our family has the same misfortune to doing it. Well, it's a man or woman. Some of you families sitting here, you children married slobs, and you know it. Okay. Okay, she divorced the guy. This lady preacher came to my wife and said, Sister Vale, I guess we've got to change our doctrine because my sister wants to get married again. I'll look you all in the eye this morning. Many as I can look at. I'm taking my time. How many of you are Pentecostals this morning? Oh, it couldn't be me. It couldn't be my daughter. It couldn't be my boy. It couldn't. You know what you're doing? You're holding back the Spirit of God in this meeting from people getting help. Because you're taking your stand with the devil. A vindicated prophet. Attested to. Want to thumb your nose at it? Women that walk out here in the street with those shorts on, they don't realize it. They could easily prove, swear it, prove it. They'd never had a man touch them outside their husbands. But in their heart, they don't realize that the spirit of the devil has taken them over. They're possessed of it. Why would a woman want to strip her clothes off before a man? That's under these conditions. There's only one person did in the Bible, and that person was crazy. Others try to cover themselves. they don't realize now watch the constant warning, because that's what Brother Branham did. It's so cunning, so subtle is this spirit. You have to watch and weigh yourself with the word of God and see where you're standing. 1 Corinthians, we read it time after time after time after time after time after time. Every one of us needs it. There's nobody doesn't. I need it. You need it. There's nobody doesn't. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul is speaking of 31 to 33, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, you know, I told you, according to Brother Branham in Hebrews 4 and 12, the discerner himself came down, the living word of God came down, in the form of a pillar of fire, got into the form of human flesh, God once more, transforming himself into human flesh and standing before the congregation, discerned and proved what he was saying. And he said, women, you cannot do this, and men, you cannot do that. Now, it looks like the judgment is blowing some people plumb out. I'm not angry at anybody. Look, you know, I'm not angry at all. I'm not emotionally moved. I speak. I got my throat this morning, so I have no trouble. I just let her beller. Plus the fact I rely 100%, or much as I can, maybe not 100, but as much as I can, on God giving me what lies in this sermon. And I'm trying to show you the facts. Let's go to 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter. And Brother Branham says, a teacher takes the word and weaves it back and forth in Scripture. Now, if I can't do that, then I'm not a teacher. If I can't do it, then I'm a teacher. He said so anyway, so I don't care what anybody else says. Like now. Let's go to 24. That's what I wanted. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. And otherwise, it tells you right here, you, Paul the Apostle, William Branham, and you and I don't have to be cagey about what is sin. Now, you can send your sins on before, and you miss the judgment, and you'll be able to stand. And there's only one way you can do it, and that is by the vindicated word of the prophet who pronounced judgment upon the world and avenged the bride by saying, you are the righteous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't do it in the first place. You were tricked into it. But anybody who continues to do those things that Brother Branham was against proves they don't qualify. They are simply not bride. And all you have is a mental head reservation. That's not good enough. There's got to be the life with it. This young lady said, oh, they told me I was baptized when I was a kid. I don't know whether to believe that stuff or not. I said, don't you believe Jesus Christ? She said, well, I don't know whether I do or not. Some of that hocus pocus stuff, I don't believe it. I said, well, of course you don't believe hocus pocus stuff. But you do believe he was the Son of God. Oh, she said, he could have been. And I said, do you believe he's the same today and that God would save you? She said, is any of that their stuff about there being miracles and stuff like that? I don't believe anything about that. And I said, what would you do if you were sitting in a meeting and saw God, the Holy Spirit, which is the only God there is, working amongst the people, God in the fatherhood, the pillar of fire, and the prophets, God in his son, then God in his people, his just attributes of God, one great God who covers eternity. I said, what would you do? What would you see if he... among his people, made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, look upon out upon the audience, and tell the people what was wrong with him, like he did when he was here on earth. Of course, he in the prophet doing what he did in the body of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And she said, I believe that. It'd be a horoscope. I said, you are in worse shape than I thought you were. You'd be better off if you were crazy, see? You wouldn't be accountable. But you're just possessed of an evil spirit. I said, when Jesus told the woman at the well about her husband's, when he looked upon the people and perceived their thoughts, would you call that horoscope? See, he's just so wrapped up in a denomination called Lutheran that anything contrary to that would be wrong. Now, is this an extreme case of unbelief? That's a joke. There's no such thing as extreme unbelief. You know why? Jesus said, if I have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, I can move a mountain. Teeny weeny bitsy. Paul said, if I have all faith and move a mountain. Ain't no such thing as being a little faith, actually. Faith, faith. It's the person that's using it. Now, this is not an extreme case. This is, as Brother Branham said, your little teeny beanies will pull this off right in your church and right in your home. I want to ask you a question. How far out was Cain? Not very far. He had an excellent sacrifice. But he had a wrong division of word. He tossed the blood out. Though the blood was shed, didn't do Cain any good. He couldn't identify. So the Lutheran church is in bad shape. Cain was called the son of the devil, which he was. 274. 174. Now God wants a man who is wrapped up in the word. Anything contrary to that is wrong. Jesus said that every man's word be a lie, and mine be the truth. Well, that sure sounds great to me. Would you please pass the dish of words so that I can have it? Because Isaiah said every table's full of vomit. The end time church is wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and she thinks she's got everything in her hand. She's increased in goods. She lacks nothing. She thinks she's a bride of Christ, and she's a complete harlot. A tougher word, prostitute. And the best word of all is whore. Because the word whoring suggests not just a philanderer, but one who makes it her business, and that's all she wants. Now, there's another tape you're not going to like. Your kids might hear it. It might just save them from sin, but you're going to put your kids in another direction, though, so that's all right. My kids didn't believe either. You think I'm going to quit preaching the gospel? Or turn away from Christ? My wife had her ultimatum years ago as one of love. If I ever go back on God, kid, you go on with God and leave me to the devil. Because there's no marriage and giving in marriage over there. And you'll find really who your real father was, not your biological. Abraham goes right back to Adam. Doesn't go back to Eve. Eve was the part of Adam that fell. Doesn't go back there. We're all her children. Science has even proved that, but that doesn't mean too much to you and me. Now, God wants a man who's wrapped up in the word. Anything contrary to that is wrong. Jesus, a man's word be a lie, and let mine be the truth. So I said, pass the dish. Give me God's truth. How do I know it? Vindication. Only one way, vindication. That's why the prophet said, say what I say, that's all. That's the ultimate, that's a perfect faith. There was a man in a very scientific age by the name of Noah. He wasn't ashamed of God's word. God met him and he talked to God. He knew it was God. And he said, God said it's going to rain. Never rained before. But Noah believed it was going to rain. He had the faith that he had. He was not ashamed to exercise it. He took 120 years to build an ark. He exercised his faith. When the world was against him, he wasn't ashamed of God's word in his day. God saved him and his household for it in his day. How foolish it might have seemed to other people, but to him, he met God. What about Luther? Luther met God. Met him right through the word. And the Pope said, I'll kill that dog. But praise God for a German nation. Look those a bunch of Italian bums right in the eye. He said, no, you ain't going to do it. And the French and the Poles and the Hungarians and all the rest of them said, you ain't going to do it. Want to come up here and fight? We'll fight you. Look where Germany is today. Doesn't matter. They did what they're supposed to do in that day. Yeah. No matter how scientific it was, how contrary, how they said it couldn't happen. Oh, no, it couldn't happen. But he met God. Now, what's Brother Branham saying here? That God is the great communicator. There is no such thing as the silent God in heaven. That's a lie. It's always been a lie, always will be a lie. See? But he has his own way of doing it. Now let's go to Hebrews 12. Verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not, he refused him that spoke on earth. Much more shall we not escape if we turn from him that speaketh from heaven. When did that take place? That was not when Jesus was on earth. That was the time of Moses. Because he's talking of Moses in verse 18 and on. And this word yet once more signifies removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, we had better be careful to listen to somebody. Now, how does God speak? Oh, praise the Lord. I feel like leading a hallelujah march down the aisle, but there's nobody here to play when the saints come marching in. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, Lord thy God will raise up a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken according to all that thou desirest the Lord thy God in the horn of the day of assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. That's exactly what's going to come to pass. And how are you going to hear him? By a vindicated prophet. So, before the end time, before the burning, before the consummation, there is going to be an end time prophet. God is not silent. The churches purport to speak with God. Somebody ought to muzzle those dogs, because that's what you put on dogs, and they are dogs. Put muzzles on them. Now, as you consider the attitude of Moses, let me say this, Brother Branham speaking. That's what it is when you know that you're talking to God. You got to know it's got to be God. Then you launch out on it to the building of an ark whereby you save those that are of the family. Now remember, Noah was the last true human being. His kids and his wife weren't. But you know what that meant? They had the closest. So God saved him. Now, you and I have the direct relationship to the genetically perfect one, Jesus. And nobody else has it, and there's very, very few. Now, listen, that's what it is when you know that you're talking to Him. In other words, you refute. You do not take anybody's argument. You do not care what anybody said. You stand with your word. So Brother Branham had these visions of standing before kings and what God was going to do. And Dr. Davis said, you with the seventh grade education, do you think you're going to do it? He said, certainly I will, because that's what he said. And he did it. Everybody comes along and they try to say, well, Brother Branham, he wasn't original when he said this and that. There's a guy named Hayslip. There's a guy there. And you talk to my friend Bill Monson. He'll give you all the history of lies that these guys told and he'll believe it. Because he wants to think his own thoughts. He's a nice guy. Maybe he'll come back to it one day. I don't know. That's his business. But I know one thing, you're not going to kid me. Because I know Pentecostal liars. Because I was with them. They'll tell you anything and justify themselves by talking in tongues. Fat. People commit adultery and talk in tongues to justify it. You see, Brother Vader getting raw. I always was raw. I'm not getting raw. I always was raw. I know what I'm talking about. I can name you names. It may take me a while to get the man's name, but I can tell you the girl's name. Her name was Williams, and she was an actress, a little fledgling actress. And she was down there in Beaumont crying. Or this guy with all these girlfriends. And he could sing beautifully. And he enchanted her right into bed. So much for your tongues. Well, you see, David messed up with the true Holy Ghost. He came as close to getting the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said, what the prophets had is the closest to what you and I have. Darling, you know what, Brother Sitcher, when you got a vindicated prophet, I'm not saying you're going to be the finest person on earth. I'm not going to say you're going to be this and going to be that as far as conduct is concerned. But I'm telling you, you will sit up and listen and amen it, and you will begin to strive. As the Apostle Paul strove, and William Branham strove, and other men strove. Of course we don't have what they had. Brother Branham said Abraham was a silver dollar, Lot was like a little 10-cent piece of tin. But you see, don't throw the 10 cent out. You go along with him. But listen, brother, sister, we're past that day of fooling around. And we're looking to get people to believe and understand the vindicated message because, listen, your passive faith is what's going to take you through, not your active faith. Though you speak with the tongue of men and angels, though you turn the word upside down, give your body burn, that isn't going to profit when that which is perfect has come. See? All of these things could stand until that time. But the minute they come, it's just exactly like the first time the first offering was given outside the garden by two boys. One boy came under revelation, and the other came under duress. He did his best. He brought the best. He nurtured it. He brought the first fruit, everything he could lay his hands on, an excellent, beautiful sacrifice. And he said, here, God, it's the best I can do. I'm giving you. And God says, not good enough. I want life for life. Boy, said, I'll cut my throat. He said, I won't do you any good either. It's still the same old life. You got a substitute lamb. Take a lamb. Hey, God, you're telling me that a beast was my father. I'll bring that. Don't associate with that nonsense. I'm a son of Adam. Therefore, a son of yours. He was mad. Spitting text. Well, he said, you figure then Abel is your son to Adam? Well, it won't be hard to get rid of him. One day Adam will die. Then where's your sons? Think the Catholic Church hasn't done that? People wake up. Every tent, every wind that blows, every breeze in the trees signifies the truth of the word of Almighty God.
People turn down the word.
Well, if I'm with you this Wednesday, and I could be, I don't know.
Don't promise.
We'll start here. Good as anybody.
Don't think I don't love you. But I do. But you know what I love?
I love this word because it's my life. And you know what? I'm carnal. Very carnal person. I'm not proud of what I know I can see as God helps me. But it makes me happy as nothing else can make me happy. To begin to feel what Brother Branham felt under the Holy Ghost and begin to show you so much in so few paragraphs. Because sometimes one sentence is like a whole book from the Bible. It's an encyclopedia. And it's all a part of life. We enjoy that life. And I'm holding to his promise. Take this message for your healing. It's okay, go to doctors, do all you can. It's still going to be God that does the healing. You know, folk, the life in us is good. It does some healing. Because, see, it built that tabernacle. But God never gave it power to build an eternal tabernacle. God had to step in and help it. Like he's doing now. So you see, oftentimes you got to sort of help our life along. Because he said, all these things are for you to put upon earth. But God would step in many more times if we just opened ourselves up to him all the way, which is a complete reconciliation of our minds with this word that Brother Branham taught, and say, that's it. That's it. And I am it. I am a part of it. David never said after his great sin of adultery, bringing forth a baby, a truly illegitimate child, and God killed it. He never said, I'm no king. I'll never win another battle. I'll never judge another case. I'll be dead by morning. He said, I've sinned. And against thee, O God, alone have I sinned. You say, he sinned against Uriah, sinned against Bathsheba. No, he betrayed his trust and his position in God. But you know, he's in that first resurrection. I believe he's with somewhere where those resurrected saints are, Abraham, Joseph, Jacob, Job, David. Righteous ones. It's what God did. Let's rise and be dismissed. Can't preach forever. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for the time we have a fellowship with you. The love of God we know shed abroad in our hearts, and only by the word seeing more and more you and the word one. No way saying I've got Christ in my heart and don't have the word. No way saying I've got the word and don't have Christ. Somebody's wrong, Lord, and it's not you. And this morning by faith we can say, Lord, by a vindicated prophet knowing this word, and we know that others do not know this word, and they turn it down, the same as did Brother Branham, knowing what the prophet said to me personally, God, I believe this morning that we as a people here do have this word. We do have you in our hearts. They're one. And it will be manifested because we are not trying to supersede anybody whatsoever. We're just trying to stand, Lord, with this. Now, Father, by the Spirit of the living God, in that word, let the two-edged sword now circumcise our hearts and our minds from everything which is anti-word. That's where we want to start. And then by grace, whatever is possible and lies within the context of your predestinating power, or whether it's simply in us ourselves, O God, help us to circumcise the flesh also, to put away those things which are declared sinful by the prophet, that we know to be naughty within ourselves, to be a trap either to ourselves or to others. And in any way, Lord, somehow, that as the epistles which we are and known we are of you, to give forth the savor of God and neither of man or the devil. Now, Lord, if that's too big an order, we simply mean in our hearts that you are in control of our desires, what we're looking and pressing into, and you will help us in a measure beyond ourselves, because at this point we are not satisfied. And you said, Lord, yourself, if we came to you hungry, we would not be turned away. For you said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be full. Feed us, Lord, we pray, upon this convenient bread that comes forth in the life that is sanctified as jewels for your crown. And if not that far, at least something in the gold of the streets you could walk on. That's all right. Long as we're with you, near you somehow. A part of it all. Thus, Lord, we go today praying again, Father, that none of this congregation shall be ill or in any way harmed by the devil. But with you, Lord, the strength of your word pouring forth in vessels of clay, bring forth those into health that need your help this morning, O God, and I'm needing the help. I thank you for all you do for me, Lord. I praise you for every bit of sleep you give me. Anything else, Lord, I feel comfortable in. I'm so happy you do it for me. I know that people here are the same mind. We love you this morning, Lord. We love you, O God. We love your word. How that word, Lord, is nothing like it. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you.